This is our number two.
It's time for the fastest 15 minutes of the news. This is Dory's Fastest 15.
Aaron, this is such a bizarre story about the death of that father and those two girls. You and I talked about this when the story first broke because you told us it was close to your house, right? And
I recall driving past that residence at one point, maybe a month or two before that happened. I don't know if it was the exact residence where this happened, but I recall seeing a large family gathering outside in the front yard near where this happened. Crazy. Yeah.
Well, but here's what I can't understand. I know they say there are more details to come, but the father and the two girls died of starvation.
Mm-hmm.
That wouldn't be all at the same time. That'd be sequential. And wouldn't you think that if one of the three or if two of the three saw one of them die, that they would walk out the door and try to get some help? I mean, I just don't understand how three people die of starvation and the second and third didn't do anything.
I don't know if we're going to get closure on that, Dory. And no. I know the mother of those kids, she did a welfare check. And she was concerned because she hadn't heard from them in a long time. So we have calls out to Renton Police to try to get more information on this. But yeah, there were materials about fasting written that they found inside that home. But all the bodies emaciated. Died of starvation.
What a horrible story. Yeah. All right. Thank you, Aaron. Appreciate it. Welcome to the Fast 15. It's World of News in a tidy little 15-minute package just for you. And Nicole, we have some stuff coming. We broke this story yesterday thanks to a listener's tip about the cartoon Dilbert, and the Times ran an apology because the character referred to himself as a birthing human. The creator of that, Scott Adams, you tried to get a hold of him? Are we having any luck there?
No luck yet.
Oh,
still working on it.
Yeah. It's just, if people didn't hear it, it's just ridiculous. The Seattle Times runs an apology for people who have been traumatized by a comic strip, and the fragility of people today is just, it's unbelievable. All right, let's get into the fastest 15 here. How's your budget doing? We've got runaway inflation, gas prices are killing people, grocery prices, average 4th of July barbecue is up 17% in cost over last year. Maybe, just maybe, it's time for Jay Inslee to give us some tax relief. No, Jay Inslee would never give our money back to us. You know, we overpaid taxes. State of Washington has about a $1.5 billion surplus. So we have overpaid our taxes, and the people we overpaid won't give us our money back. Let me tell you what's happening. Jason Mercier at Washington Policy Center, he has a great blog post about what Democrat states around the country are doing, almost all of them, except for Washington. In California, which is a radical left state government, they are sending direct stimulus checks going into people's pockets and direct relief that's meaningful. Governor Gavin Newsom said that that's what they're going to do in California, send direct stimulus checks to every resident of the state because they have a surplus. They're also going to give everyone a $400 gas tax rebate per registered vehicle. And last year, $12 billion in direct checks were sent through a stimulus act. So California is refunding billions to the taxpayers. In Colorado, a Democrat governor, Governor Polis, he says, these tax cuts and refunds are a strong sign that Colorado's economy is roaring back. I'm excited that Coloradans will get another income tax cut and refund put toward bouncing back from the pandemic, a night out or groceries. Also in Colorado, they reduced the income tax rate. They reduced the, they're giving a sales tax rebate. Additional automatic tax reductions have been triggered. And property tax assessment rates have been reduced. Do you know how many of my listeners I've been hearing from in the last few days? Apparently Snohomish County tax, property tax assessments just went out because a lot of people are seeing like a 33% increase in their assessment. Well, in other states, they're helping people out. But Jay Inslee stands alone in Connecticut. The governor, Lamont, Democrat, Connecticut's fiscal health is stronger than it's been in decades, and now we can move towards the next phase, cutting taxes for the people who live here. They're going to cut $336 million in taxes. Delaware is a Democrat state. Governor Carney, my hope is these direct payments will provide some measure of relief for Delaware families. They're going to send $300 checks to every taxpayer in Delaware. Hawaii is a Democrat state. $250 million tax rebate, $300 rebate per taxpayer. Direct checks sent to help families during high inflation times. Illinois is Democrat run. $1.8 billion in tax relief there. Maine is Democrat run. They're giving $850 checks to every taxpayer in the state. New Jersey is Democrat run. They are going to provide property tax relief to households. New Mexico is Democrat run. Governor Grisham, $250 checks per taxpayer, an additional $500 rebate per taxpayer is being considered by the Democrat legislature. It goes on and on. New York, $2.2 billion in property tax rebates, $162 million in income tax relief. Oregon, Democrat run. They have a surplus about the same as Washington. They're going to send a $600 rebate for to taxpayers there. So on and on it goes. But here in Washington, a $15 billion budget surplus, inflation at 40-year highs. This is all according to the Seattle Times. If Washington was ever going to return our money to us, it'd be now. Because families are hurting economically, and Jay Inslee has stolen more of our money. And that's what I consider this. Washington has a balanced budget. Now we've given them more than enough to fund the budget. So everything above that is our money and should be returned to us. And the fact that almost every other Democrat-run state in the country is doing that, returning our rightful property, our hard-earned wages, to us. But not Jay Inslee. He wouldn't, you know, when Joe Biden said, yeah, we need a gas tax rebate, Jay Inslee, no, not in Washington. Jay Inslee will not return a penny. This is the guy who promised that he would not increase taxes. He lied so he could get elected. And we are about the only state in the country right now that is not giving taxpayers their money back that we've overpaid. And how do we put up with that? How do we put up with that from Jay Inslee? I have absolutely no clue why people in this state keep voting for somebody who takes so much of your money. It's amazing. Absolutely amazing. All right, up next in the Fastest 15. So a listener brought this to my attention. And Nicole, where'd you went and saw that Elvis movie a couple nights ago, right?
I did. I didn't expect to like it as much as I did. I love Elvis and the, you know, I've been into Elvis my whole life. My mom was a big fan. And but I knew it was done by the same director as Moulin Rouge, so I was like, oh, they're probably going to weird it out. But it worked. It just works.
Okay. I saw that it was at the Seattle International Film Festival, which I thought was mostly for more artsy films and not big commercial releases. But anyway, a listener brought this to my attention. The COVID policy, the mask policy at Seattle International Film Festival. You know, yesterday we told you that Dow Constein just hired a new King County health director who really wanted to bring back masks in St. Louis a year ago. And you know, they've been talking about possibly having to bring back a mask mandate here. But this is just funny. The Seattle International Film Festival, a listener sent me this link at their website for their mask policy that they had this spring. You are required to wear masks at all times, except when you're in your seat. You have to wear a mask in the lobby, but when you sit down with the same group of people, do we stop exhaling when we sit? Does everybody hold their breath the entire two-hour movie that they watch there?
Well,
these things are so
stupid. I mean, that's been the mask policy the whole, I mean, on airplanes, again. Oh, if you're eating or drinking, then it's fine. Then you're not spreading it.
You have to wear a mask in the lobby, and when you sit down, you can take it off.
I actually think that that's still, well, I think that the theaters both have some mask advisories to, I'm not sure what they are anymore, so I'm not going to say, but at one point, the Fifth was still, you have to have a mask. Paramount was advising masks.
Yeah.
They're still very into masks around
here. So capricious and silly. Mm-hmm. Up next in the Fast 15, how despicable are some men? Well, according to reports from all across the country, men are getting vasectomies in record numbers because of the Supreme Court ruling that came down on Friday. This is from the Washington Post. And it says, after the Supreme Court overturned Roe v. Wade, they profile one guy who rushed to get a vasectomy, and he's not alone. Urologists say they've seen a spike in requests for vasectomies. So let me get this straight, men, my fellow men. So you have always viewed abortions as just birth control? I mean, is that it? That if you get somebody pregnant, well, they'll just abort the baby. Because if you're getting vasectomies because of the Supreme Court ruling, that means that you viewed abortions as birth control. And any guy who looks at it that way is sick. Just a sick, twisted individual. To make up for your irresponsibility as a man, you'll just encourage the woman to kill the fetus. But instead, now you're getting a vasectomy. Why didn't you get a vasectomy years ago if you're that horribly irresponsible? But that's just the mindset of too many people. And then I guess this is kind of a theme, a segment of the Fastest 15, because here's a story you don't hear every day. Are you dreading this one, Nicole?
Well, I'm dreading the theme, yes. Okay. Once people put that together.
Well, it's just a... it's just a story you don't hear every day.
That's true.
A nightmare turned into a reality for an Ohio man who was alarmed to hear weird noises coming from his genitals. The unidentified 72-year-old who heard a hissing noise has been diagnosed as the first person in the world with a whistling scrotum, according to the alarming new study in the American Journal of Case Reports. The man was rushed to the local ER, complaining about his bizarre condition. An X-ray showed he had excess amounts of air floating within his body, causing his lungs to collapse. And later, the primary source of the man's strange whistling was discovered to be an open wound on the left side of his scrotum. So his scrotum was whistling. Whistling scrotum! Isn't that where the USGA played the U.S. Open? A few years ago, Whistling Scrotum Country Club. Anyway, Nicole, I don't know why you're so disappointed, because I thought this was a great bit of journalism by you. Mm-hmm. Nicole was able to exclusively obtain audio from this man.
I really appreciate
that. That would be annoying. No, I always give credit where credit's due. Wait a second, we have more audio of the guy? Not that more. That you're going to have the screw, the whistling there.
Hey, man, who's that cat coming down?
Oh, here we go.
I don't know, but it sounds to me like that whistling man with the bone. Sure having himself a ball.
All right, that's the story of the man. The whistling scrub. That is your Fast 15. Coming up next, Brandi Cruz. Right after we check the news for you, Brandi Cruz is going to drop by for her weekly visit as the very intellectual Dory Monson Show rolls on.
Jesus you got. Skeletons in your closet, spitting all over your face. Heaven and lies stacked so high, can't keep your story straight. With them.
Always looking for skeletons. It's Thursday afternoon, and that means it's time for our weekly visit with Brandy Cruz. Good afternoon, Brandy.
Hello. Top of the afternoon, too. It's a nice day out.
So first of all, a Supreme Court decision came down last Friday, and I wasn't on the air on this momentous day.
You're welcome.
You were doing the show. My wife asked me, because we were driving over to a wedding in Pullman, and she said, do you wish you were, or she said, are you glad you're not on the air today? And I said, no, I like being on the air on, you know, momentous historic days, but you were doing the show. What was that like?
Well, we kind of expected that decision was going to come down. And so, we knew what the decision was. So we kind of had the benefit of it not being breaking news in the middle of the show. But
yeah,
always great doing the big show, but especially fun doing it on a big news day.
Let me ask you a question. We've seen some violence ensue locally because of that decision. And I've heard some heated rhetoric from Jay Inslee and from Pamela Jayapal. That's what Biden calls her. And from all these people denouncing it. And it's fired up radicals on the left. You had to deal with a lot of radicals when you were out covering Chaz Chop. But it's fired up radicals. And they always ask Donald Trump, do you denounce the Proud Boys? Do you denounce the extreme right wing? Why does nobody in the local media ever ask local politicians if they denounce the violent extremist left wing?
Yeah, I wouldn't say nobody did. I mean, when I was at Fox 13 during Chaz Chop and that whole Summer of Love, I mean, we went to great lengths to try to get anyone, any city leader at all, to comment on what was happening up at the East Precinct. And you remember when those anarchists like tried to seal the door shut and light it on fire? We couldn't even get the city council to comment on that. And so there's definitely two standards. And then you're right. I don't think a lot of the media pushes back. First of all, I don't believe words are violence. And so I don't believe that someone speaking out, like the governor speaking out against the Supreme Court ruling, I don't think he should be blamed for people who commit acts of violence against, you know, family planning clinics.
No, I'm just saying there should be some equivalency, because by the same token, I don't think Donald Trump was responsible for Charlottesville and, you know, everything else that they asked him to denounce. But it just seems to be a one-way street. That,
oh, yeah.
You know, Trump was always asked, do you denounce? Do you denounce? And local politicians are rarely, if ever, asked that.
Oh, I totally agree. There's definitely two standards in the media. There's two standards for politicians that the media holds them to. I mean, that to me is just undeniable. And you had some independent journalists who were attacked and their security guards during the first protest that came after that Supreme Court ruling in Seattle. And were the other reporters standing up for them? No, because they perceived them as being reporters on the right. So it's like apparently okay to verbally and physically harass and assault them.
Well, and even to the extent of when Jay Inslee was asked, I think you and I even talked about this a few weeks ago, when he was asked 2 days into Chaz Chop what he thought about it, and he said, oh, first I've heard about it. He had had daily security briefings. He knew about it, but he was afraid of upsetting the radical left because he was about to run for governor again, and he wanted their votes. And that's why I think our politicians, that they won't denounce violence on the left because they all depend on votes from that end of the spectrum.
Yeah, I mean, I think I have the saying actions before affiliation. I think if we can all just judge people based on their actions and whether their actions are acceptable without any consideration for their political affiliation, the world would be a much better place.
Yeah, exactly. Speaking of Jay Inslee, did you see his tweet last night?
You got a snort out of me, sorry.
I got you a snort. All right. So Jay Inslee, he did a drawing, a little doodle of a dinner plate with the presidential seal and a really weird fork that a three-year-old might have drawn. And the plate was broken, and he was, you know, making comments about what we must do now. So I don't even remember what his quote was. But I retweeted that and I said, so we've had 29 shootings in the first 28 days of June in King County, 14 shootings in 3 days in Pierce County. We have the we're number 32 in employment rate in the nation. And we got a lot of problems in our state. And he's sitting there doodling and tweeting about a federal issue. What's wrong with this man? What's wrong with him?
You forgot that it also had a Heinz bottle, a bottle of ketchup, and it said, January 6, 2021, Donald Trump delivers his plate of the union address. And it's like the shattered plate, and he wrote, he broke it.
Plate of the union. I've never heard such a thing.
And then he wrote on the tweet, he broke it. We can and must fix it. And I mean, I would recommend just super gluing that bad boy back together, but... Yeah, to be honest, when I saw this, I just assumed one of his grandkids had drawn it. Is that not the case?
No. He's very proud of the fact that he's a doodler, and that he does now. Now we've learned he can do art like about a 4-year-old. He's very proud of it.
I'm a little concerned with the length of the blade on the knife there he drew. A really short handle, a really long blade.
You and me laughing about a visual on the radio.
Sorry, people can go look at it. I mean, the governor, I think he's going to run for president again. I think we've discussed this. I think he's going to try to run for president again. So he's just laser focused on Trump. Can't let go of him.
Yeah. But still, we've got so many problems. And I've never heard Jay Inslee talk about crime in Washington. It is an epidemic, and this summer is starting off horrible, especially in King and Pierce counties, our two most populous, and he never addresses it. It's really crazy how little he seems to care about all the he talks about new gun laws all the time, but we have judges who let gun felons go. It's crazy.
Well, one of the things I'll say, though, although the governor hasn't seemed to come around to it, I mean, you're starting to see some Democrats who maybe do have future political ambitions who are trying to come around to it, like Bob Ferguson. I talked about this when I was filling in on your show last week. He's forming that retail theft task force, as if he's just discovered that retail theft is an issue in our state. Yeah. And then also Kim Schreier. Did you see her new political ad? So Kim Schreier, the Democrat running in the 8th Congressional District, she puts out this political ad saying she's taking on the Biden administration and that she's focused on public safety. So you're starting to see Democrats in an election year sort of shift their messaging to act like, oh, we cared about public safety all along.
Yeah, well, Kim Schreier, she's going to have a tough opponent. I mean, there are really four credible Republicans who could come out of the primary against her. And that's been a Republican seat before she won it by a razor-thin margin. And if it is the red wave that everybody's predicting, she's one of the ones in the U.S. who might be most vulnerable.
Oh, it's a nationally kind of recognized race as being a bellwether. I just spoke with the Republican National Committee yesterday. I had them on the podcast, and I mean, they are actually trying this time around. They got a lot of flack for not putting any money into that race in 2020, just sort of giving it to Kim Schreier, like not putting up a fight. And they're definitely putting up a fight this time around and putting more money into that race because they think it's a really doable seat to win.
And I had Tiffany Smiley on my show earlier this week. I find it hard to believe that a political newcomer could knock off a nearly 30-year incumbent like Patty Murphy, as Joe Biden calls her. It's crazy. The Democrats from across the country, they're pouring a ton of money in and doing attack ads against Tiffany Smiley. They're not building up what Patty Murphy's done in 30 years. They're attacking Tiffany Smiley, which suggests they might even be a little worried about that one.
Well, I think it's undeniable. I had a Democratic political consultant, Sandeep Kashuk, on my show the other day, and we talked about the fact that Patty Murray herself is running ads early in the summer, attack ads that are coming not just from PACs or whatever, from her campaign. And so that shows clearly in what the Democratic consultant said is she's not willing to leave anything to chance, not in this political climate. So she's coming out, she's spending early and often on ads against Tiffany Smiley, and that says something. I agree with you, though, that I think it's going to be very difficult for Tiffany Smiley to win. But she's doing what she needs to do on her end to try to make it possible.
What do you have coming up on your undivided What are you working on?
Well, tomorrow on the show, we do, as you know, Dory, we do Fridays with Friends.
Yeah.
On Undivided. Well, I mean,
as of last week, it was Fridays with all your secondary friends.
Oh, correct. Yes, because you were my first friend. Everyone after that is just a sideshow. But my friend Allie Bradley is going to be joining me. She's been doing reporting, as you know, from the southern border. And she's been covering some tragic stuff this week. The death of all those migrants in the crash. She's been the first on the scene to a lot of that, including the Uvalde shooting. And so she's going to join us. Fridays with Friends is supposed to be upbeat. But gosh, she's been covering some tough stuff at the border. So we're going to talk about that.
Allie's awesome. She came on our show during Uvalde. And serious question. How does somebody like that make money? I know that you worked with her at Q13 at the time, Q13. And when you're an independent journalist on the border, I know that she appears on Fox News once in a while. She does shows like mine. But I don't know how she make money doing that. How do you?
I'm not sure. I mean, I pay her when she does. I mean, we're talking business now. I mean, I pay all independent reporters who come on my program and do reporting for Undivided. And so I can just speak for myself. But certainly there might be other people. But yeah, she doesn't do any sort of subscription based thing. I think she should because she's doing some awesome stuff.
Yeah, she's fantastic. And there are just so many people who have left the broadcast world and are doing great work because you're embedded and you can laser focus on issues instead of having to run around to a different story every day. And I think it's just becoming a hugely important part of what is a dynamically changing media landscape.
Yeah, it is. And I love it. I mean, it is a grind every single day. And, you know, you do have to try to, like with me moving to a subscription-based model, it's a constant sort of selling point, which is trying to get people to subscribe to something that they usually get for free on the local news. But my argument has always been, it's just, like you said, it's a better product. You can spend more time covering stories that matter and not all the fluff that gets shoved into a local newscast.
Better product. Let me think if there are any free media shows that are any good. Oh! Yeah, this one that we're talking about. What do you mean it's a better product? It's as good.
I was talking about local TV news.
Okay.
I would never dare to compare myself to the Dory Monson show.
Far superior. All right. And if you want to support Brandy's work, patreon.com/undivided. Fantastic, Brandy. Appreciate you.
Yeah, and it's my birthday on Saturday. Thanks for wishing me a happy birthday. I really appreciate that. Thanks, friend.
Nicole told me it was your birthday and said you might want to mention something. Even when I'm tipped off, I can't remember things.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
All right. Okay. All right. Love you.
Love you, too.
Brandy Cruz joins us every Thursday. Check her out, patreon.com/undivided, where she does some fantastic work. And we have lots more. I'd love to get your text, too. 888-973-CHIRO, 888-973-5476. Lots more straight ahead here on the Dory Monson Show. I was born in the morning, but I was born yesterday. I am happy to say that the creator of Friends has now atoned for all of her sins. One of the creators, at least. She says, after being harassed for years by social justice warriors, co-creator Marta Kaufman, she says she is now embarrassed by the lack of diversity on the show. So she is going to pay a $4 million ransom to get people off her. No, I'm sorry. Wait, hold on. No, she's going to give $4 million in donations to make amends for her demographic sins. Many on the left have long criticized Friends for what they perceived was a relative lack of diversity in the Greenwich Village neighborhood of New York City. And she now says that, well, here, let's let her tell us herself. Here, let me start that off.
It took me a long time to begin to understand how I internalized systemic racism. And I've been working really, really hard to become an ally, anti-racist. And this seemed to me to be a way that I could participate in the conversation from a white woman's perspective.
It just makes my skin crawl to hear people. I don't know if she actually thinks like that or if she's just, like I said, trying to get people off her back now. But just the phrases that these progressives use, like she did something wrong. She created a show. You know what I've noticed? None of the Cosby kids were white or Asian. And I find that to be shameful for the creators of the Cosby show. Whoever did that should be put in jail. Oh, wait a second. He was for many, many years, but not for lack of diversity. So anyway, but just the idea that people cave in. I cannot understand living your life by being unjustly criticized or unjustifiably criticized for something like that. It was just a show. Look, I'm calling out the creators of the Andy Griffith show right now. Because there weren't any black characters on Andy Griffith in Mayberry. How shameful is that? I mean, Gomer? Goober? Emmett? Howard Sprague? None of them. Couldn't they have made that a little more diverse? Well, yeah, they could have, but they wouldn't. You know why? Because they were not allies. Hey, speaking of the same thing, you know, I've been hearing all the news reports about Ketanji Brown Jackson being sworn into the Supreme Court. Every single media story has called her the first black woman.
Can you provide a definition for the word woman?
Can I provide a definition?
Mm-hmm. No. Yeah.
I can't.
You can't?
Not in this context. So I'm not a biologist.
Not a biologist. How can the media, in every single story about it, say something that is indefinable like that? Odd, isn't it? Okay, we're going to check the news for you here at the top of the hour, and then the big lead at 2 with Jay Inslee. Is he going to denounce all the left-wing extremist hate? That's next on the Dory Monson Show.